Let's talk fantasy sports, real sports, esports, and some betting. Now, here's your host Dave, and some mix of Connor, CJ, Zub, Brian, and Nick. It's the one-stop shop for your gaming and fantasy needs. This is Sports Euphoria.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever it is you may be listening, however it is you may be listening. Welcome to another episode of Sports Euphoria, podcast where we talk about fantasy football, fantasy sports, real sports, betting, gaming, and esports. I'm your host, Dave. It's me again, the usual, the huge, my regular co-host is still having computer issues on and off, so we're trying to rectify that. So it's just going to be me. We're going to be reviewing week 11 in the NFL, and I'm going to be going over the calls that I made, as well as how I did in the week, and see how my calls for my sleepers and my busts and or my duds and starts of the week, see how they did. So we are going to jump right into it. We're going to talk about, which one do I want to talk about first? The one league I'm in, I went 3-3 on the week. Two of the leagues that had Jonathan Taylor in, so you can only imagine how that went. I also had Justin Jefferson, Justin Herbert, and Darnell Mooney. So that's all I'm saying there. My one buddy and I won our league last week. We won very comfortably. Travis Kelce ended up having a good game. Herbert ended up doing well as well. So that's always a bonus and a good thing to see. So we have a tough matchup this week, but I'll talk about that later. Other league, I'm out of the playoffs. I had to win out. We had to win out in order to do anything. Ended up not happening. Lost. So it is what it is. Shit happens. Not like I'm in 10-team league. The other first two were 12-team leagues. This one is a 10-team league. Kind of pretty loaded here. We did win last week. We set the high score for the season. Dropped 220 points. Justin Herbert, Jonathan Taylor, Jeff Wilson, Mike Evans, Justin Jefferson, Darnell Mooney, Pat Freiermuth. I also have Derrick Henry on the bench. Like I said, 10-team. Had a late pick. Got Henry and Taylor back-to-back. So I feel great about that. Absolutely fantastic. So other league, ended up sneaking one out in my ESPN league with my wife. Snuck out that one by 3 points. Thankfully, got the points I needed before people stopped playing. And then in another league that I'm in with some friends of mine for a couple of years, crushing that league because, again, Jonathan Taylor, Justin Jefferson kind of just went off. So, and then my Dynasty League ended up losing that one. Unfortunately, I was down by about 40 points with Saquon Barkley, Kadarius Toney, Daniel Jones. Barkley and Tony did well. Jones is the reason I lost. If I would have started Heinicke, I would have won. If I would have started Elijah Moore over Emmanuel Sanders, which is something I thought about, but just didn't like the matchup for Moore. Wasn't sure how Moore was going to do with the two cornerbacks for Miami. So that came back to bite me. So I have a huge game this week. I am projected to win, but we'll see how it goes. And good old Jalen Hurts. Showing up, baby. Showing up. Also going to be trying to make some moves here. Have some roster moves I want to try to make as well for future endeavors in my Dynasty League, but we'll see what happens. Moving forward, my starts of the week, I had AJ Dillon, Nick Chubb, and David Montgomery. Well, Nick Chubb did not disappoint. Nick Chubb did finish over his projected points. Another one I had a sleeper was Myles Gaskin. Myles Gaskin finished over his projected points as well, just barely. AJ Dillon I had as a start. He finished below his projected. So I was off on that one a little bit. I definitely thought he would have done better, but it ended up getting into more of a shootout than I think everybody had anticipated. Then I also had David Montgomery, and that fell flat on its face. Didn't even get to half of his PPR points. Actually, he finished exactly half of his projected. He was supposed to project like 15, depending on the sites you go, and he got like 7.7. Gotta love it. Gotta just friggin' love it, right? But it happens. I had Deontay Freeman as one of my sleepers. He did not, unfortunately, do well. They were, again, behind. They didn't run much. Dontrell Hilliard did well. He was the guy that got the... He was, you know, a some would say like a sleeper type thing with no Jeremy McNichols. He ended up being their pass catcher, and then you know, they were behind. So he took over the reins there. Jeff Wilson didn't do what I thought he was going to do. Unfortunately, projected, you know, 12.6, finished with 6.8. Trey Sermon ended up splitting a lot. If you would have taken Trey Sermon's points, you know, Jeff Will, I don't know. They just used Deebo Samuel as a running back. It's just unfortunate, but shit happens, you know, it is what it is. And certain things happen. You just, you can't control certain things sometimes. So you just kind of have to roll the punches a little bit. But real quick, I'm sorry. I thought I had done something, but I didn't. Okay. So, yeah, I was a little off from some of my projections, and it's unfortunate. I did talk about Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts did end up doing well or better than anticipated. One of the top scoring quarterbacks this week in the league. That's for sure, to say the least. Sorry if you guys hear any bang or anything. They're working on their roof here. So, but Jalen Hurts finishes number three quarterback, you know, just behind Herbert and Rodgers. So it's not a bad week for Hurts. It definitely helped carry, you know, three rushing touchdowns and a nice 24-yard touchdown run. Helps for sure. But we'll see, you know, see what happens. And like I said, Taylor Heinicke, depending on scoring, you know, he got 29 points in my one league. It's just, you hate to see it. You just hate to see it. You really do. Should have started him and I would have won. If I started him, I win. It's as simple as that. It just sucks, but what are you gonna do? Shit happens, right? AJ Brown, I thought AJ Brown was gonna go well. Did not, got hurt with a hand. Then got hurt with ribs. Not looking too hot. Rodgers crushed it. I did not, you know, I expected Rodgers to do okay. I just didn't expect Rodgers to go as off as he did. You love to see that though. You really like seeing that. Some of the surprises for the week, I would say, is obviously Jonathan Taylor's success and Justin Jefferson as well. I mean, they're not huge surprises. You took Jonathan Taylor expecting this. You took Justin Jefferson expecting this. But just the amount of volume that they got. Like, Justin Jefferson had over 100 yards in the first quarter. Like, that's crazy. Cam Newton did fantastic. Three total touchdowns. Beautiful pass to CMC. Darnell Mooney with a huge game. You know, with no Allen Robinson, it really showed. So, that's something to look forward to. If Robinson does not play again this week, he is doubtful as of right now. So, that's something to keep an eye on. Devontae Freeman as well, 20 points, spending on your scoring in my one league, got me 20 points. You know, even with Latavius Murray back, I think that's massive. That is actually huge. Because now it's like, oh, okay, he did this. He was catching the ball. He was running the ball. Yeah, and it wasn't with Lamar Jackson. Like, that's the craziest part. Like, so just think about that. Like, it's probably going to take away from him with Lamar Jackson because they're going to have the ability to have Lamar keep it because he's going to feel better about it. You know, with the backup, you're afraid to make the mistakes. You're just going to give it to the running back on the RPOs or the options. So Zach Ertz, crazy good game as well. But again, no DeAndre Hopkins, no Chase Edmonds for catches. No, you know, AJ Green did well, but you're covering, like, Rondell Moore had 11 targets. So Zach Ertz was just, he capitalized on his opportunities. Very big game. And Elijah Moore for the Jets. Benched him as well. I thought Emmanuel Sanders would have had a good game. It would have been, you know, it's boom or bust. And I thought he was going to boom this week and he didn't. Zach Wilson's supposed to start this week for the Jets as Mike White tested positive for COVID and Joe Flacco was close contact. Funny how that works out. If Zach Wilson does not try to play hero ball like Patrick Mahomes and like he was earlier this season, I think Elijah Moore can have a good game again. We're going to see. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But with that, speaking of Elijah Moore, I'm going to jump into some of these games. Elijah Moore's good. The kid's a stud. Get the ball in his hands like Kadarius Toney, Jalen Waddle. He's going to make people miss. He's going to score points. He's going to get yards. He's not the big body guy. So, you know, going down the field, he's probably going to have to, you know, beat somebody or blown coverage or whatever the case may be. He's not going to be able to really go up and high point the football like a 6'3", 6'4" receiver. Tua and Waddle. Will be a problem. I think the way Tua throws a ball does not look pretty. It reminds me of like a Tim Tebow-esque. Like, looks just like he's throwing a weighted football, but it works. Jalen Waddle is going to get points somehow, one way or another. He's going to get those catches. And Myles Gaskin, yes, he's been getting these numbers because of volume, because of no Malcolm Brown, but he's capitalizing on them. He's not, you know, he's just has to protect the football and keep going. And I think he can have a good rest of the season. You know, Tua and Superflex should have, you know, steady weeks, and Waddle as well. Mike Gesicki is playing, you know, he's going to get his as well. Hopefully he'll be more consistent, but I think the three most consistent players, you know, other than the quarterback, you know, but Tua being one of them, but the other two would be Waddle and Gaskin, especially if Gaskin's going to continue to get the volume. I don't know what's going on with Malcolm Brown. Your season's over, so there's no point in playing Malcolm Brown at this point. And I want to see how the Jets look with Wilson, because Flacco and White were taking what the defenses were giving them. I want to see if Wilson can do the same thing. Jonathan Taylor, man. That's it. That's all. It's John Taylor. John Taylor against the Bills. Like, that's it. I don't know if it was game planning or if the Bills defense is just the result of weaker opponents. Even with the Jaguars, though, even though they gave up 9 points, like, are the Bills everything that we thought they were? You know? Even offensively, they have no running game. It's just rely on Josh Allen to do everything. And they're just dropping back in coverage and forcing Josh Allen to find the open receiver. Like, you can't cover receivers that long, but Josh Allen also can't hold the ball that long. So there's this trade-off. You have to be able to run the ball. You have Singletary, you have Moss, you have Breida. Like, Breida's a proven back. He can move the ball. He did it in San Francisco. And Singletary, you took him high in the, like, not high in the draft from that kind of standpoint, but you took him to be your starting running back. And then you have Zach Moss. Like, you have three competent running backs. Why don't you just do something? It's hard to see. Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen are the only two people I trust in that offense right now. And it pains me to say that, thinking that Emmanuel Sanders would have done something. It looked like early rapport, but now they're just, like, taking that away from him. So, I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see if the Saints can do anything. If the Saints can put up points against the Bills, then it's cause for concern. But we'll talk about that on Friday's episode when I go over the games. Maybe I'll have a co-host. Ravens, Bears. Really just Devontae Freeman and Mooney. Like Freeman for the Ravens. Bateman didn't have the greatest game, even with no Marquise Brown, but that's just a result of no Lamar Jackson. Andrews had the better game catching the ball, but you're good. That's going to happen with an inexperienced quarterback. You're going to look for that big body tight end who knows to just sit down in the zone. The quarterback's going to hit him. When in doubt, hit Mark Andrews. Freeman was as I make weird noises, the point of the game where I was like, I need Freeman to score a touchdown here was after Watkins had that pass, last second pass on the final 72-yard drive for the Ravens. I'm like, they have to run the ball here. They're going to expect a pass. They hurry up to the line. They're not set. This is going to be a run. I'm like, Freeman needs to score here. If it's a catch, it'd be even better. If it's a run, then I'll take it. And he scores with the run. And I'm like, oh, let's go. Like, I was super excited because I needed it for fantasy. But Freeman is looking great. Like, all things, you know, being equal. I shouldn't say great. He's looking good. They trust him. He's picking up the offense well. He's understanding it. And you just feel bad because he's not only going to be there this year. Like, after, like, this year, they're going to have J.K. Dobbins back. So they might keep him. But they have Dobbins, Hill, and Edwards. Like, what are you supposed to do with that? So I have Freeman, I have Hill, and I have Dobbins in my Dynasty League. So I'm optimistic. I'm going to have to hold on to him. Because what if they get hurt again? What if Dobbins isn't the same back when his ACL... Like, thankfully, Dobbins tore his ACL early enough where it's not like a Saquon Barkley a couple of, like, weeks into the season, you tear your ACL. A year from it'll be like around preseason time, so he'll play the preseason games, I think, to work off that rust and do well OTAs. So he won't be as limited as Saquon was when Saquon came back. But we'll see. As I digress, Darnell Mooney, he's been showing you now that he's worth it. Without Allen Robinson, he can take those top guys. The game picked up a little bit. You know, he was getting his targets and everything like that, but Dalton as well is a better passer right now than Justin Fields is. So I think on Thursday, this is going to play an intricate part into the game, in the game plan, because Dalton is just a better passer. Now, Dalton also played against... Oh, he's playing the Lions. Never mind. I was going to say Cowboys, but whoop. But the Raiders. Marquise Goodwin had a game. It was a blown coverage. Dalton found him, threw it, scores a touchdown. Fields probably isn't playing this game, which sucks because I thought Fields was going to have a good game. And it was just ugly, but it happens. But, I mean, if you need a receiver, you're depleted at wide receiver. You had DeAndre Hopkins and you have Tyreek Hill and you need somebody. Goodwin wouldn't be a bad pickup here for the simple fact that Robinson's not playing. So that's always something to take a look at as well. He's not on my waiver. He's not on my waiver ads, but he is somebody just to take a look at, especially with Robinson being doubtful. But yeah, if you can, you pick up Mooney. He's rostered over 50% of leagues, but you should have him nonetheless. Lions, Browns, Baker Mayfield is straight cheeks. He's terrible. Injuries are not. He is terrible. Absolutely atrocious. Against the Lions of all teams, you're seriously going to do that? I don't think so. That's just absolutely terrible. Like, just Nick Chubb and Hunt when he comes back. That's it. Like, there's no other reason to start any other player on the Browns. Lions suck as well. Like, Boyle was absolutely atrocious. Goff's questionable to play. He has an opportunity to, but I don't think they're going to force it. It's a short week. Why not just give him the extra rest? And then just DeAndre Swift. That's it. I mean, if you have one of the Lions receivers, but if Boyle plays, I wouldn't touch them. Just Swift. Swift all day. This was a snoozer. I'm glad this game's... We don't have to review that anymore. Texans Titans. No, AJ Brown hurt them. Yes, they probably shouldn't have lost in general, but no AJ Brown against a bad team that he can beat in coverage doesn't help. They lost Marcus Johnson. He's out for the year. They're down to Des Fitzpatrick, who's a third or fourth round pick, and Nick Westbrook, Aquino. I just picked up Westbrook in one of the leagues for Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard's questionable, and with Miles Sanders there and Boston Scott, there's no point to have Jordan Howard at this point. So I'm like, let me just pick up Aquino to block the other guy from getting him. Nobody's going to want him in the Dynasty League, but figure why not. I actually have a player that I want to pick up for next year that I'm not going to say in case somebody's going to be watching this a little later or listening to it before I can make the claim. But I'm trying to look now because I'm on the fringe of still being in the playoffs. I'm 6-5. I'm still the fifth seed. I need to win this week, and I should be a lock. I do have a tough end of the schedule, though. I play like top teams. I play the top four seeds like this week. Last week I played like a top four seed. This week I'm playing the number four seed. Then I'm playing the number two seed in 2 weeks and a number one seed next week. Like, I'm just, I don't know what I'm going to do. Thank God I'm playing, and there's people on buys for the guy I'm playing right now, because I'd be screwed. But it happens, you know. But Titans just need to get healthy. I think the Titans just kind of need to just get Julio back right. Like, just, you have some room to lose some games. But you're going to have to beat Indy again. You should play them one more time. You're going to have to win those, like, against the bad teams and keep the good games close. But they play up to their opponents. They got stuck in a trap game. You know, it happens. They got to, you know, it just, these things happen. It shouldn't. You were, like, winning five straight against, like, previous, like, playoff teams and good teams. But, you know, they're just depleted with injuries. But their defense, I think they're just going to have to rely a little bit more on their defense for right now. To win some games. But, and then also Tyrod Taylor is somebody to take a look at. I believe I have him on one of my players to add. I didn't get a tweet out this week about that, and I do apologize. I was like scrambling to try to find people. Like, this waiver wire week sucks, and it's going to start to suck more and more because teams are going to be getting eliminated. They're going to be trying to pick people up to block people. It's just going to be ugly. Ugly. If you're out of the playoffs, if you have no shot, I don't really recommend trying to like snab a good player because you're not going to really be able to do anything with it. I just think it's like fucked up, to be honest, because you're taking, like, it is strategy, but it's just like, come on, like, you're really going to screw over. You have no shot making the playoffs. I'd rather just beat you straight up and play spoiler than fucking take a player. Like, what's that? Like, because you're one of the worst teams. Why are you going to, you know, take? Yeah, it just makes no sense. But I get it, though. I understand. But Tyrod Taylor, he showed you this game against a good defense. He's the option that they have. You got to roll with Tyrod. You got to roll with TT, you know, T-squared. Any of the gamer nerds like myself, old Halo days. But Tyrod, you know, two quarterback league, super flex, pick him up if he was dropped for any reason, especially after the bad week last week. Just has to find some rhythm, found it, shows you what he can do with his legs, also has a good arm. Just for the deeper leagues too, or if you have like bye week quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Colt McCoy, those types of guys. Next game, Packers-Vikings. This was just a shootout. I didn't expect this game to be that much of a shootout, but it was. Everybody, you know, had some good games. The people from the Vikings that you would expect. Kirk Cousins, number four quarterback, number five quarterback, had a good game. You know, three touchdowns. Cook had a good game. He had a touchdown. And then obviously Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen had good games. It was just, they each finished in the top 10 as wide receivers. So you love to see that. I honestly didn't think Thielen was going to have that good of a game. I thought the Packers defense would have done something to slow them down. Clearly not. But a shootout. Everybody got theirs. Everybody got theirs. MVS got his. You know, Rodgers got his. Dylan got, you know, Dylan still had a serviceable game. You're not going to hate that for starting Dylan, what he gave you, that production. You're not going to shy away from that. You're not going to say no to that. Adams, obviously, two TDs. MVS with the yardage and the touchdown. Rodgers going crazy. Good game all around offensively. Starting these defenses, sorry. sorry for you for sure. Shit happens, all right? What else do we have here? What's the next game? Saints-Eagles. So, do have some Saints-Eagles. Jalen Hurts. My God, dude. Like, I get it, you didn't throw the ball much, but like, come on, you got to do him dirty like that. Three touchdowns. The first touchdown, I got nervous. If you saw it, he switched hands real quick. He was able to fit inside the pylon, gets a touchdown. You know, he's really starting to come into his own. Like last season, he only started four games at the end of the season. So he's still working into it. And Nick Sirianni is really transitioning this offense into a run-first offense and utilizing Jalen Hurts. And he's not taking big hits. He's smart with it. He's a highly intelligent individual. Like, he's being smart with the football. He may say crazy things. Like, you don't just stare at shit when you take a shit. You flush it and move on. But you just really like to see that. Jordan Howard's obviously hurt, could miss a week to 2 weeks. Boston Scott and Miles Sanders are the two guys I like. Sanders did have a fumble, and he was getting punished for that. But then Howard got hurt, so he came back in. He had 94 yards, depending on your league. He had the fumble, so he lost 2 points, so 7.4. But you still like the fact that he got close to 100. I think against the Giants, he's probably going to end up having a good game. He's probably going to go there. The team ran all over the Saints, who have a top three run defense, if they're not number one. And they ran for over 200 yards against him as a team. Like, come on. Devontae Smith had a solid game. You know, you hate to see, unfortunately, like, he got stopped short of 10 points, four catches for 61 yards. But you hate to see, he got stopped short of a touchdown. He got tackled short. It was another one Jalen Hurts ended up scoring on. But if he gets that for me for fantasy purposes, you know, it's six from Hurts and six from Smith. And I, you know, probably end up get close to winning that game. I lose by, you know, a point, but he gets those extra yards. So like maybe, you know, you just never know. You just don't know. So it happens, you know, but it would have been nice. It would have been very nice to see that. But Hurts still got the touchdown, but it, you know, that's at least 16 points from Smith. So you would have loved to have seen that as well. Actually I would have won. Well, no, I would have had an additional 6 points. So it would have been close. It would have been really close. But hopefully, you know, going forward, Smith's their best option. Yes, they have Goddard as well, but he's the underneath guy. Smith's going to be, you know, their number one passing option. And Hurts is, I think he's the real deal, man, just from a fantasy perspective and a real football perspective. He's passing wise. They move him out of the pocket and they run him to the sideline and it takes away a lot of the field. So he throws the ball out of bounds. Those are a lot of his passes. So I take that kind of with a grain of salt. Like, he's not missing everything. He's fitting them in tight windows. He had that throw last week or 2 weeks ago over, you know, to Smith over Surtain, and he came down with it. So he throws the ball well, and he'll get more accurate as time goes on. But I know a lot of them I've noticed are he's rolling out and then he's throwing the ball down the field and he's throwing it out of bounds or throwing it where his guy can get it and trying to make a play. But yeah, I think he's very, very efficient. Next, I have Trevor Siemian. Having no Kamara really does show, depending on the quality of the opponent. And the Eagles are a good opponent. They've really been stepping up on defense and offense. So, you know, that just goes to show you. Crazy to me how the Giants beat them, but whatever. Ingram had a good game. You know, he was going to get what he gets you out of a volume perspective. And Trevor Siemian, like, the man's been balling out. Like, he's been playing well. Yes, it's garbage points. It's garbage time. He's been a top 10 quarterback past 3 weeks since he's been starting. He's been putting up good points. But again, yes, it's garbage. Yes, it's... I get it. And I'm not saying you're picking him up right away, but again, bye weeks, maybe a dynasty for early next season, because Winston could miss some time. He could Bortle it to you, for sure, Siemian, in getting garbage time points, but he's going to, again, take what the defense gives him. Like a Mike White, like a Joe Flacco. He's not going to try to do too much. He's not going to shoot the ball down. Marquez Callaway had a touchdown. Not a very bad game. Touchdown saved him. Or not a very good game, but the touchdown saved him. But he's just going to give what the defense... He's going to take what the defense gives him. So I do like him to even... Against the Bills, they might try to focus on stopping the run. So they might load up the box. So Siemian may put up more points that way. Because they're going to try to stop Mark Ingram. Now, Mark Ingram is not Jonathan Taylor. But again... Just saying, you know, I think Siemian is going to be another top 10 play this week. But we'll get into that, you know, on Friday's show. Next, I want to talk about the Panthers and the Washington football team. Another player I should have started, but I did not, started Daniel Jones, was Taylor Heinicke. They were playing the Panthers. Panthers' pass defense is very good, especially with Stephon Gilmore. Well, Heinicke said, screw you, Dave. I'm going to have a day. And the man had a day. Finished again in the top 10, right below Siemian, in PPR standard scoring. 20 points on my bet. It would have been a 21-point difference or 20-point difference. I'd have won. Like... Silly, stupid things. My thing is I overthink a lot of things, okay? So, like, I get into my own head, and I know if anybody, like any of my friends are, like listening to this or watching this or whatever, I tend to get in my own head and I outthink myself. And I did that 2 weeks ago when I should have played Devontae Smith, and I didn't. And I'm like, oh, you know, the Chargers, blah, 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 Chargers, Eagles, if their cornerbacks aren't there, I should play them. And I didn't play them. I said it, and I didn't play them. So I'm like, oh, you know, the other matchup's better, blah, 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 blah. I got burned. The following week, I listened to my gut, didn't overthink it, played the players. I won. This week, overthought it again with the matchup with Heinicke and the matchup with Jones and Kadarius Toney. And Emmanuel Sanders, and I just should have gone with Elijah Moore. Would Joe Flacco, Mr. Checkdown himself? And Heinicke, and I'd have won with ease. With ease. It was a 23-point difference in favor of Moore and a 20-point difference in favor of Heinicke. That's 43 points. Win, no problem. No problem. And I don't friggin' do it. And I just get mad at myself because I try to dive into these matchups so much instead of just like, look, this is what I think's gonna happen. Boom, 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 boom. You know, I don't know what I just said there. But anyway, Terry McLaurin had a good game. I think he needed this against a good defense to show you he can play. Him and Heinicke clearly have stepped up and have more rapport. And I think that they'll do better as the season progresses. They're playing good football. Their defense has gotten better without Chase Young and Montez Sweat. So you love to see it. And I'm going to be starting Heinicke over Jones every game for the rest of the season. Until Jalen Hurts on a bye, then I'm probably going to play Jones. Hopefully that's the week that Jones plays the Dolphins. I don't even know. I think it's week 13. Hurts' bye is 14. So anyway. Cam looked good. Still looked a little rusty on a couple throws and his internal clock. It should take some time to work that rust off, but he looked good. He got you some good points. He was, you know, it's a t- top five, top four quarterback, depending on scoring. You know, so he got you some stuff. You picked him up on a whim and hoping he would do something with bye weeks, or you had Kyler Murray and he's been hurt. Not a bad pickup to get Cam. Not a bad pickup, especially with him, his first start at home. You knew he was going to come out and want to do something. And I think Cam will make the receivers more relevant. You saw Robbie Anderson do some stuff. You saw a DJ Moore have a touchdown early. I think it's going to be good for the receivers around and Christian McCaffrey as well. It's just good to see Cam back playing football and playing football at a good level, like not how he was playing it with New England last season. So you'll love to see it if you're a Cam Newton fan, if you're a Panthers fan, you really enjoy it and you should see some good stuff coming. 49ers and Jaguars. This wasn't close and I didn't think it was going to be close. My sneaky call, Jamal Agnew, that fell flat on his face. He's out for the season with a hip injury. George Kittle, looking fantastic. I think George Kittle's back. Especially the way Jimmy G's been playing. He's been, again, taking what the defense gives him. Jags suck. They're not good. They're inconsistent. You know, Dan Arnold, 0 points. They lose Agnew. LaVisca can't do nothing. Marvin Jones gets garbage time stuff. James Robinson's week was saved by a last-minute touchdown. It's another reason I lost. Like, if he didn't get that touchdown, I'm like, oh, God, I lost because of that touchdown. Joe Mixon was held under check. I'll get to that game in a second. I'll get to that game. Joe Mixon was held in check for the first half, and he just goes off. I'm like, oh, fantastic. So, it happens. It happens. But if you drafted Kittle, you're happy to see him doing something again. You're happy to see him back. You're happy to see him, you know, contributing to the team. Deebo Samuel did not have a good game. Just had a touchdown. So, receiver-wise, he didn't do well. Rushing-wise, he had like 79 yards and a touchdown. So, that saved his day, the 70 yards and the touchdown. That's 13 points plus whatever catches he had and yardage he had. But if you look at it, if he didn't have that rushing touchdown or he wasn't running the ball as a running back, he wouldn't have had the greatest of games, but it bailed him out. He's a talent, so they're going to get him the ball however they can. Is he the new Cordarrelle Patterson? Is he going to fit this hybrid role where he's in the backfield, coming out of the backfield? They're doing different stuff with him. Like Patterson, get him the ball however you can. They're trying to get Cordarrelle Patterson in Atlanta the ball however he can. I'm not saying that he's as bad as Cordarrelle from a receiver's perspective or skill perspective. He's more talented, but they both kind of play that same thing right now. Samuel did it last week as well, 2 weeks ago, if you want to say. So it's just very interesting to see that they're going to want to get him the ball however they can. So if you have Deebo Samuel, you love to see that because it's like, oh, okay, he can run the ball. They're going to get him his touches, however it may be. Next, we're going to go Raiders, Bengals. Not a good game for Burrow. Had the touchdown to chase Jamar, but it was, you know, Joe Mixon game. You're definitely Joe Mixon game, 124 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's a talent. He would have been a higher pick if he didn't have some baggage in college. You know, so he's just talented. And him going off as well, I just a little upset about that. But that's really Chase had the touchdown and the catch and things like that. So obviously you're starting Chase. So he got you a touchdown. It bailed you out. For sure, because he didn't have the best of weeks. He just had 13 points. Like I said, the touchdown bailed him out. The Raiders just need help all around. And them not getting off the, and them, and the, them not staying on the field is just hurting their defense. Defense started off hot because they were rested, but as the game progressed, they sucked more. Just like Giants defense, just like any other defense, like the Seahawks defense, if you're not converting on third down, you're getting off the field and having three and outs, your defense is going to get winded and then they're not going to be as good. That's what happened. Like Joe Mixon was being, you know, bottled up and then they just couldn't bottle him up anymore and he burst through. Darren Waller had a nice game towards the end, for sure. It just concerned, like the tight end position's in such shambles anyway. that, you know, it's just unfortunate. But he did have, you know, 18 points, depending on scoring, PPR scoring at 18.6 point standard. But, you know, if it wasn't for the touchdown again, like, it's just like, what's going on? You know, nothing of Bryan Edwards. You know, Hunter Renfrow didn't have the great, it was just a shit show. You like to see Josh Jacobs getting a little bit more involved in the passing game and stuff like that, but they got to fix it. They're just a mess. The Bengals O-line, wow, man. Like, thank God the defense got tired. They were getting manhandled. Burrow had no time to throw. Burrow almost got hurt, limped off the field at one point. Like, this is why, like, yeah, you take Chase, but I also want you to see they take Chase because of the rapport, right? They take Chase in the draft. He plays with Burrow, you know, blah, 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 all this shit. Everybody was saying, go offensive line. You want to protect your young quarterback coming off of this knee injury. You want to protect him. You want him to be your quarterback for a long time. No, 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 no. We'll take Chase. We'll take Chase. We'll take Chase. I get it. Jamar Chase is very good. Very talented. Very talented. He's going to be a very good wide receiver in the NFL for years. What's he going to be like when he doesn't have a good quarterback, though? Because his quarterback's hurt. Exactly. So I would have wished their offensive line would have gotten better. They're playing well, so you're going to have a lower draft pick in regards to, like, towards the end of the first, like, the end of the first rounds and stuff. So, like, the middle of the draft to, like, the end. But, you know, it's not a quarterback draft. They don't need a quarterback, so they can, you know, go to other needs. They have good receivers, Boyd, Higgins, which Higgins, I was very disappointed about. I thought he would have had a better game. And Chase. So this is the time to go for, you know, defense, go for the offensive line. This is a draft to do that. Every once in a while, there's a draft that comes around where it's not pretty and you just draft linemen. This is that draft. And they got to do that because if they get an O-line, forget about it.
Forget about it.
It's going to be them and the Ravens battling it out until Pittsburgh gets a quarterback. Next, Cowboys and Chiefs. Thought this was going to be a shootout. Said start them up. Load up everybody. Load them up, load them up, load them up. Nope, nothing. This game was ugly. Kelce gets a touchdown. CEH gets a touchdown. Being a Giants fan, you love to see the Cowboys lose. But the game just was not good. It was just not pretty. You see the Cowboys get blindsided by Denver, right? Maybe they trap game, you know, trade Von Miller, blah, 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 blah. Come out, smack Atlanta, drop 40, but beat them by 40, right? Chiefs come in, nothing. You threw up 43, 46 points against Atlanta, and you got shut down by the Chiefs defense? And you got Super Bowl aspirations? Not like that. Not looking like the dog shit that you put out there on Sunday. I get it. Zeke got hurt. Injuries happen, right? Zeke gets hurt. The Giants put up more points against the Chiefs. Zeke gets hurt. You know, Pollard looks good. CeeDee Lamb, as Dak throws a deep interception, gets a concussion, comes out of the game, so you're down receivers. Michael Gallup, second game back. Cedric Wilson. You know, Noah Brown. Like, who are these guys? Dalton Schultz, you know. Just couldn't do it. I get it. I get it. You know, O-line was a little bit of a disaster, but I want to know how they respond. How do you come back on Thanksgiving? There's a possibility CeeDee Lamb plays. How do you come back against the Raiders? If you don't put up a good offensive game against the Raiders, I would be highly upset. And I would be, even if you win, you get the W, so it helps. But pay attention, because if the offense looks bad, and you're supposed to have Tyron Smith back as well. So if the offense still looks bad with Tyron Smith on the left side, I'm just saying, just you got to look in the mirror. Mike McCarthy sucks. Obviously, the injuries, CeeDee, Zeke, and then COVID with Cooper. That if they're fully loaded, it's probably a better game. But the Chiefs are just drawing the clock out, running the clock down, you know, time of possession. Chiefs defense does look better. Chris Jones on the interior makes all the difference in the world. To slow down a team that just put up 43 or like plus points, like 40 plus points a week ago and holding them to 9, you love to see it. also as well, if Dallas get the number one seed in the NFC, and they have to go to Green Bay, you expect them to go play in the cold? It was just Kansas City, and it was only November. It's not going to be good for them. They play inside in Texas. These things matter. Just real football talk for a second. All right, anyway. Offense, again, they took what the defense gave them. Patrick Mahomes didn't try to do too much. It wasn't the game that Patrick Mahomes put up last week. It was 2 weeks ago where he had four or five touchdowns. Like, it's not 400 yards. They're taking what the defense is giving them. CEH looked good coming back as well. Had the touchdown, so you love to see that. And they got to catch the ball. Travis Kelce dropped a pass and then gave no effort and it was intercepted. Like, I get it, but like Patrick Mahomes throws it right there and you just drop it. A little bit behind you, but you're Travis Kelce, man. Best tight end in the league for a couple of years now. Like, catch it. Hold on to it. So, I don't know. We'll see. Next, we're going to go Cardinals-Seahawks. Now they're on a bye this week, and the Seahawks play Washington on Monday. But Colt McCoy's serviceable, very serviceable. They get the win, but Seahawks offense is not clicking right now. Hasn't been clicking all season, let alone right now. Russ still looks rusty, no pun intended. His finger is not the same right now. His grip is off. He's missing throws. Offensive line's terrible. Just a mess. But he's going to want to finish strong. He's going to want to finish with pride. They're going to try to, you know, at least maybe go 500. Well, no, you can't go 500. Try to get as close to 500 as possible. So it is a 17-game season. So they still have one more game to lose to try to finish above 500. But we'll see. Cardinals, like I said, look okay without Murray. But Murray makes the team more explosive because you don't know what he's going to do. He's going to run it. He's going to prolong the play, giving his receivers opportunity and tight ends to get open. The run options, the run pass options, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if he's going to keep it or not. Because you have to account for multiple things, his arm and his leg. So I definitely think that obviously with Murray, and it's the obvious answer, but, you know, McCoy still put up good numbers. So, you know, you just have to respect them more, and they're probably going to put up better numbers against other teams when Murray comes back off the bye. But the Seahawks need to capitalize more. They need to just not get... They have the least amount of time of possession in the NFL this year. They're last. If not, then they're close to it. But they're just not capitalizing. They're just not getting off the field or staying on the field. And their defense isn't getting off the field because they're tired again, just like the Raiders situation. Like, one hand washes the other here. And don't force the ball to run the ball. Like, you're losing. Stop trying to run the ball. Just do other things. Pete Carroll, like, stop. We have to run the ball more. I get it. It's a play action. Like, I understand, but stop. If it's, you know, stop forcing it because it's not working. And then you're putting yourself in a situation where it's like 3rd and 8. And then you're just going to come back and they're going to rush Russ. What do you expect to do in that situation? Anyway, DK Metcalf, he goes as Russ goes. Like, Lockett did have over 100 yards, but. I think Russ just wanted to get him involved. It's been a couple of weeks. DK was the benefactor of Geno Smith. So, you know, Russ likes to keep everybody happy, but DK is definitely, I'm not worried about him yet. I think he goes off this week against Washington. It's a Monday night game. Russ on national, you know, primetime game. I think it'll be a good game. So we'll see. I'm not worried about him yet. If he can't do anything against Washington, I'd start to worry about DK. But I'm not worried yet. I want to see, you know, what happens. One more week. Steelers Chargers Sunday night game. I get it. The Chargers have been stalling, but Herbert had a great game. And Mike Williams had a good game, and Keenan Allen. Eckler obviously was the MVP this game. He had a Jonathan Taylor-esque game, 4 touchdowns to, you know, lighten it up. Got into a shootout. Chargers defense isn't the greatest right now. And Ben was able to capitalize on it. And he took his chances and they made it a shootout. Herbert had a very, very good game. Keenan Allen had a very good game. Mike Williams had that long touchdown, you know, play. And obviously Eckler. Like, if this is what the Chargers can be rest of season, you're loading them all up.
Eckler, like, you're just loading them all up. As in everybody but Cook and Parham. You're the two receivers and Eckler. Herbert looked better. He looked, you know, he also didn't have TJ Watt, so he didn't have to worry about somebody being up, you know, like down his back, breathing down his neck the entire game. So it helps. They're supposed to be getting defensive players back this week, Pittsburgh. So Ben's not going to have to do what he did this week every week because the defense will be there and will be better and keep them in game. So they'll be able to run the ball more, control the ball, have the time of possession, and slow it down. But I'm interested. The offensive line for Pittsburgh has gotten better as the season's gone on. Typically, that's how things usually go. The longer you play with one another, the more you develop, the more you understand how your quarterback's going to play, the better you perform. Deontay Johnson, good game. You know, can Ben keep this up? If he has to. If he has to, he can keep it up. They have a good running back. They have good receivers. Claypool's back. You know, they have Raymond McLeod tested positive for COVID. He's on a COVID list, so, you know, they have that. But Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, they have weapons. So I don't think he's going to have to do this every week, but I think when he has to, he'll be able to. Streaming options, two quarterback leagues. You know, I like Ben, depending on your roster's makeup, and I'll talk about Ben more in the next episode, probably on Friday. But with the defense coming back, I don't think Ben's going to, like I said, be forced to have to do all of this, but we'll see. We shall see. Then the lovely Bucks-Giants game. Saquon was back. Saquon looked good. He got tackled from behind at one point, and he was out for a little bit. He was with the trainers, but he looked good. Looked promising, to say the least. Tony had a good game, but he left with a hip issue. You hate to see it. I was on a hit. He took a knee to the quad. It was a quad, not hip. Quad. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Like, I'm hoping that Freddie Kitchens gets the ball to Kadarius. You know, Jarvis Landry had good games, man. Jarvis had good games when Freddie Kitchens took over, not as the head coach, as the interim OC when they got rid of Hugh Jackson. A couple seasons ago, back 2018, the Browns. You know, so I want to see what that looks like. You had Nick Chubb, you had Saquon Barkley. You know, see what happens. The Bucs are becoming the Chiefs. They're going to take what you give them. They'll run the ball when they have to. They'll pass the ball when they have to. Evans had a touchdown, saved his game. Godwin had the early touchdown. Gronk had some big yards, big catches, big plays. But if the, you know, Brady's going to get his touchdowns, I don't know about the yardage per se, because they're going to try to be more of a balanced team. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Defense, short field, like short fields, shorter fields to work with. So his yardage might not be there for Brady, but he'll still get you the touchdowns. You know, 250 yards a game and, you know, 2-3 touchdowns. You're not going to say no, but you want people that are going to be able to throw the ball more, maybe get you some other touchdowns. So Brady's the only question I have. He's going to get the touchdowns, but it's more so yardage as the defense starts to turn the corner. But yeah, like to go back to Freddie Kitchens, like the Browns they finished the season 5-3 with him as their OC. You know, so we'll see. Apparently, according to Judge, Garrett was forced on him by ownership. So he wants to hire his guy. So now it's just like, look, at this point, you get rid of Gettleman at the end of the season. You get Lewis Riddick in. You let Judge sit down with Riddick, see what's going on. I think Riddick likes Judge for the simple fact that Riddick is very close to the Patriots and he was close to Matt Patricia. So I'm just saying, I think Riddick is the guy because he may want to keep Judge for one more year and they could be like-minded. So, and I think he's going to allow him to kind of work with his own staff, see what's going on. And the match made in heaven for me is Riddick. Riddick and Judge. It should be Riddick's job. Like, I don't understand. It's New York. He has a great job Monday Night Football, but Riddick is the is it has to be. If you get anybody but Lewis Riddick, I may change my fandom. And anybody who knows me knows I bleed blue with almost every team I root for, except for the Lakers. I bleed purple, but I bleed blue for almost every team I root for. Duke, Michigan football, Duke college basketball. I like the Yankees, the Giants, you know. Oh, and the Devils, so red and black. But I bleed blue. Like, come on. And then really for the Giants, any players to start, I like Tony, and I like Barkley. That's really it. Galladay's gonna have to show me something, but the targets for Tony look good, and Kitchens is gonna get the ball to Tony and the ball to Barkley. Those are gonna be his playmakers. They're gonna be the guys that finish strong at the end of the season. You heard it here. Tony and Barkley finish strong at the end of the season. Very strong. Barkley averaging over 15 points in PPR, and Tony averaging, you know, over 12 points PPR. I'm calling it right now. With Freddie Kitchens, episode whatever number, week 11 review, Dave said it right here. Tony and Barkley finished strong. With that being said, it is time to go to the waiver wire part of the show. I might sneeze. Give me one moment. Now, I do apologize. Typically, I'm going to sneeze again. Whew, sorry. Now, typically, I do the show on Tuesday nights for Tuesday night waiver wire runs, but more so Wednesday night into Thursday. Whew. Frog in my throat. It's very hard to find people, but it's all based off of CBS. And in all my episodes, you'll hear this. These are all roster percentages under 50% in CBS for people that are available in leagues that I like. There were no tight ends. The only one I like was Adam Trautman, and he's missing like 4 to 6 weeks, so you'd hate to see it. But Juwan Johnson, actually. Juwan Johnson. Got to talk to my buddy about that. Juwan Johnson. But this is all under 50% that I say is a good waiver wire ad because they're owned in under 50% of CBS sports leagues, and CBS's waivers run Wednesday night into Thursday, unless you customize it. I don't know if you can. I'm not a commissioner. Quarterbacks, I talked about him earlier. Tyrod Taylor is rostered in 15% of leagues. He had a bad week, and then, you know, so you know, Taylor Heinicke, super flex, two quarterback leagues. I like him a lot. Also, if you want to stream him, depending on your quarterback situation, who else you have, I do like him, especially against Seattle's defense. I think he'll have a good game. Number three is Trevor Siemian. Talked about it already. He's going to get you garbage time points, probably throw at least one interception, but he's going to get you at least three touchdowns. It's just what he's going to do. I don't know why. He's going to bottle it up. The team's going to suck. But he's been playing well. He's been making good throws, making good decisions. He seems to understand the offense and what they're trying to do, but he's not forced to do anything. Like, he's just in there having a good time. I like Siemian in two quarterback deeper leagues as well. 14, 16 team, 18 team leagues. I like him for sure. Running backs. Sneaky pick would be Tevin Coleman. You know, yards after contact, he's very good. Missed tackle is very good. But the main priority for running back should be Ty Johnson, especially because he kind of fits in that Michael Carter role with the receptions and dump offs and things like that. And if Zach Wilson has been paying attention, he's going to be dumping off to Ty Johnson, taking the boring play and getting yardage, because 3 yards or 2 yards is better than no yards. So, you know, second and 10 is not as good as second and 8, because guess what? You only got to get 8 yards, not 10. I know. I get it.
We all know that, Dave,
but it clearly not Zach Wilson. Next is DJ Dallas. DJ Dallas got some playing time last week for Seattle, and Alex Collins has been battling injuries left and right, and Chris Carson is out for the season. So look for DJ Dallas. I do like him. If you're in a position where you can hold on to him or you have Alex Collins, I highly recommend picking up DJ Dallas. Boston Scott is another one. Boston Scott, Jordan Howard going out. If Miles Sanders fumbles, Boston Scott is going to take over majority of the workload. They have Kenneth Gainwell, but Boston Scott, for some reason, towards the end of every season, ends up doing great things. I do like Sanders to finish strong. He's got to not fumble, but he's injury prone. Must be those Penn State running backs. So look for Boston Scott to, you know, finish, pick him up now, because if Sanders gets hurt again, it's going to be the Boston Scott and Kenny Gainwell show. But you'll already have Boston Scott. I dropped him right before Sanders got hurt. RIP to me. But I also got Murray the week, or Freeman the week Latavius Murray got hurt. So again, 6-1, half dozen the other. Going on to wide receivers. I like Bryan Edwards. He had a goose egg of a game last week. I still like him, though. I still expect big things from him. He's their take the top off the defense guy. He is more boom or bust, Tyler Lockett-esque, Kendrick Bourne-esque, who I'll get to in a little bit. But he can have those good games. He's shown you he can do it. He did it 2 weeks ago. So Bryan Edwards is rostered in 30% of leagues. If you have the ability, you had Henry Ruggs or pick up or Robert Woods and you can't get Jefferson or Odell, I like Bryan Edwards. Number two, Kendrick Bourne. Yes, the Patriots play boring football. Run. Pass when you can. Run, pass. He still was paid a lot of money to go to New England. Mac Jones does like him. Jacoby Myers fills in the Wes Welker, Julian Edelman role. Kendrick Bourne is your take the top off the defense, Randy Moss-esque player. More so, again, boomer bust, but he can get you 3 to 4 catches for 80 yards. I'll take 12 points. Number three for wide receivers, I have Russell Gage. Still no Calvin Ridley. Hope everything's okay with him. They're going to need a wide receiver to catch the football. Now, with Patterson, when and if Patterson comes back, Russell Gage's numbers may dwindle. But again, Pitts, and you change Patterson around, so you don't know where Patterson's going to be, which could open up more things for Russell Gage, because he would be the, you know, top wide receiver. And I do air quotes. If you're listening to the audio version of the podcast, I'm doing air quotes as I say, you know, top like receiver, because Kyle Pitts lines up as a receiver, but he's technically a tight end. So he's the number one option, but like their number one wide receiver would be Russell Gage, and their number one hybrid player would be Cordarrelle Patterson. So with Patterson coming back, it should free up more things for Gage. Because he also, you have to understand, had a better game against the Patriots, because the Patriots take away what your best option. And their best option was Kyle Pitts last week. So I expect Pitts to have a really good game this week. And I expect Gage to have a little bit of kind of the same game. But again, if he gets you, you know, 10, 11 points, you'll take it. Are you going to say no to 5 catches and 60 yards? Probably not. Patterson and Pitts are going to be the two primary playmakers on that team. So if you need somebody to fill in a flex role, I like Russell Gage here if you cannot get Kendrick Bourne or Bryan Edwards. So that is going to be it. I am going to be working on doing a couple different things here. If you guys are watching the video portion of the podcast, I do, and you're seeing my screen, I have different spreadsheets, review week, where I take notes and go over the games and talking points and things like that. Our game previews, talking points, things like that. People's picks, if you know, rankings. Trust or bust. We're doing some different things here. So, you know, we can kind of see what's going on and take notes to refer back to our bad calls. Waiver wire ads. I have my picks, my other co-host Connor, my cousin, my buddy Zoo, my buddy Nick. You know, so I'm trying to clean things up. You can see what these notes are, so you guys can see what it is that we're basing a lot of our things off of, and you can see what our calls are and everything like that. I'm also going to be doing a Dynasty podcast, a Dynasty episode, where I have my buddy Zub and Brian on, and we're going to talk about our Dynasty League and how Dynasty Leagues work in general and how they differ from Keeper Leagues if you're new to fantasy football and have a, they call it a Homer League or Home League, like you and your buddies Because I'm in a bunch of different leagues where people just kind of like ask, oh, well, you know, I don't really know these people. I don't, you know, talk to all of them, but I'm in a league with these guys. The Homer League is kind of like it's a group message. It's you and your guys, you and your friends from school or whatever the case may be. This is what this league is. So if you guys, if you're looking to get into that kind of league with your friends and you want it to go on for a long time, you could do a dynasty league. Now you can reset it after 5, 6, 7 years if you want to, or you can keep it going for however long and, you know, see what happens. But I'm going to have them on. We're going to talk about different rankings, younger players, because you want to target, you know, you're primarily targeting different people. It's a different draft strategy. But I want to do that and start to dabble with more of those and some betting, you know, episodes and things like that. Like I said, and we'll have a regular sports talk when they do the draft and who people are going to do and draft reviews. And once football season's over, go to baseball and maybe more gaming. And so if you guys have been here and have made it this far to this point, I promise you there's going to be better things coming down the road, more things coming. I may not necessarily be on all the shows if we can get things, you know, up and running with a lot of other different things. That would be, you know, great. But for the most part, I'm going to have plenty of different hats on. Try to play host for a couple different things for things I might not know about, like betting. I'll just host more. I'm not the best at betting. I make bets based on certain things. But, you know, two of my buddies are very good at betting. Three of my buddies are very good at betting. One of them was a handicapper. So I want to be able to get you guys as much information as possible and make you guys listening to the Sports Euphoria podcast that much better. I want you to have the best audio experience and podcast experience you can. So appreciate it. Guys, till next time, probably going to be on Friday. Hope you guys have a great one. Hope you guys get those waiver claims in to pick up those people that can help win your weeks and win your leagues. With that being said, guys, I will see you on Friday or Saturday. Got to pay attention. Follow me on social media. That being said, later.